back underground espionage episode 50. Tara, how is it going?
Swell, Mike. Thank you.
50 episodes. It feels like that's a number. You know, it's like that's a number.
Yeah. Should we have known that before we like basically? I just got real loud, real fast. I apologize, everybody. Yeah, like, should we have known that like before we started recording? Is that something
maybe
we should have thought about and done like a?
No, I don't know.
I'm happy with this as our 50th.
I'm
sure.
Very happy with the movie we will be discussing today. And yes, we did, as we had said on the last episode, we might miss a week, and we did miss a week. It happens.
Oh, okay, yeah, we did.
But I knew our schedule was going to be a little nuts, and it was.
It was nuts.
But we are here now. Definitely for the next few weeks, we are good to
go. But you know what the great thing is? Like, that we've had no dental work and no one got sick between the two.
That's true.
To the dentist, but it did not result in
dental
work.
And we got to delay the dental work. We took steps that we could have conceivably been, incapacitated for a day or two, but we weren't.
Oh, are you talking?
I'm just saying because we
bugged out.
Well, no, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, you know, we chose to, you know, consume beverages to the point where you would think we would make ourselves sick.
Yeah. Well,
but we didn't, Tara.
We have a methodology. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so we bugged out to Ventura. We took a nice drive. It's beautiful. It's warm. There are things that we enjoy there, such as tiki bars.
Fish and chips.
And fish and chips. The two things that were there. And a long pier that you can walk out on. And they've never kicked us off. So that's part of the reason that we love going there.
But you came up with the whole methodology on the way home. And you were like, this is important. Advice to dole out.
Do you think I can share this wisdom? Like, if you know,
You don't want to. You don't want to portray ourselves in too bad of a light.
I don't think it's a poor light, but I do think that these are important things to know. Should you choose to behave like degenerates, such as ourselves, you can't. Okay, here's part of the Connolly
system. If you're gonna drink all day.
You got to drink all day. No, you need to know things. You need to, one, don't catch yourself by surprise and accidentally drink all day. Well, you don't do that. That's not wise.
You need to make sure it's in the plan.
It's part of the plan. It's where you have no responsibilities. You don't need to make major decisions. You arrange to not be driving. You arrange to, you know, you prepare your home or wherever you're staying for you coming back in. You know, that's part of it. It's like thinking ahead. You know, you gotta wrestle smart, gorilla.
Yeah.
So what you gotta do is you prepare your home, make it easy for yourself, have snacks available for you coming home, have liquids that aren't alcohol available for yourself at home when you go home. Make it as easy as possible. Don't do things like wash your sheets and then have to put them on when you come back home. If you know that you're going to go out and have an adventure and go out and gallivant about having drinks and adventures, right? So I think that's the best way to describe it, is drinks and adventures. So the rules for having drinks and adventures, such as ourselves, would be, you know, that prepare your home. Make sure you have liquids to return to. Make sure you have a snack should you choose to return. Make sure there's no large chore or decision to be made once you get home. Make sure you don't have like dependents, you know, at home that are going to need something from you, you know, or make sure they're cared for. Like all of these things. It's a dog. That's fine. It's all right. Cat, that they can handle it, right? And they're fine. Then, you know, when you're going out, you know, make sure your phone is charged. And if you have one of those shitty phones that doesn't stay charged, bring a backup battery.
Or if you're like me.
Because you don't want to be that asshole that is like always like, hey, can you charge my phone?
Or if you're like me, make sure your phone is in your wife's purse the entire day.
Yes. And then it retains all of its charge.
And then you don't. Then you're good to go.
Or if you are the owner of said purse where you know that someone's, your partner's phone's going to be, then hey. You know,
Tara,
maybe
I'm not
carry
your partner,
an extra bag.
Okay, I'm your
husband.
I'm talking about other people.
Son of a bitch. That's, I'm talking about everyone else.
Blood Lake reference, by the way. As we're talking about a Oklahoma lensed movie
Thank
today.
God. You can't
fuck that. She's my sex partner.
You can't be everyone's sex partner, Mike. Some people try, others. Though. I know you try, and I admire you for that. Now, so then maybe you bring a little extra bag. Maybe you hide a little water in it. Maybe you put a little snack in there. I digress. So then make sure you have a charger. Then you go out. Make sure you are not starving. So
eat first.
You can have one drink and not eat. But you cannot finish your second drink and have no food because if you're going to go in it for the long haul and you plan on having multiple adventures throughout the day, you cannot get wasted off the bat because you're not going to last. You're going to be a mess. There's going to be problems.
I'm personally a believer of, well,
eat something first.
Completely eat something first. Yes. But I guess like you're saying, Tara, having one drink first. Say you're at a restaurant because the drink might come first. So
the drink comes first.
Basically,
you say, I would like to take my time.
Correct.
You know, maybe some people are of that mind where they're like, eh, I like to feel that little whatever. No. So that's fine. But
not gonna be
one drink, not more than two.
Yes, definitely.
You know, because then it's going to be a little more challenging. So then you have you get your food, right? You eat the food, preferably before that first drink. Then, you know, what we do is around... You know, if you order the third drink, what you got to do is take your Party Smart then.
Yeah, we are big proponents of
it's
the Party
fiber,
Smart.
Chicory, it helps your body process acetaldehyde.
That would be, if we were to have any sponsors for show, Party Smart would be, I would love, and just send us Party Smarts. Like, that's all we need.
Yeah, that's all we need for the partnership is the actual Party Smart.
The sex partnership.
But they are, you know... Whatever expensive is. I guess it's expensive for a little pill. They're like $2, but they're fucking worth it. If you want to save your day the day after, do that. So then you have your Party Smart. You have your drinks. Now, if you get past that third drink, you need to consider hydration. Like, you can't only drink alcohol, but also if you're with people like me that have more blood than you or bigger than you, you gotta, like, keep it going. Trick yourself into hydrating. So what you do is you take that drink, then you add water to it. You know, like, I guess if you're drinking beer, add soda. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Just make sure you have a liquid in your hand because you're going to be talking and drinking and having fun.
You can trick yourself.
And then you can trick yourself into.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
I think it's a hard thing to do. I almost wish someone could there be some sort of code word where they could do it. But I think those non-alcoholic beers, like if you could trick yourself into having one midway.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And
yeah, Heineken Zero or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're just like, good. Then now you're at the right time for an adventure, right?
Yeah.
So then you can go like ourselves, like go. We're like, let's go gallivant about.
Yeah.
Go on a little walk. Yeah. Find a place to go to. I went when we were in Ventura. I like to go into the thrift stores to get glassware because for some reason in Ventura you can get fantastic glassware in the thrift stores. I don't know why it's so good, but trust me, the glassware is phenomenal.
Great.
This time, Mike, you took a different route. You went over to Italian bar.
Yeah, and again, in some
while
ways,
I was getting glass. You
was
made
like
friends.
I was letting you go without me hovering so that you didn't feel rushed.
Yeah, I didn't. It was great. But then I got worried, so I had to go find you.
And maybe
you didn't really tell me where you were either.
Well,
but I figured it out.
You know, you saw me going there.
Well, I figured it out.
And so, what I did was sort of break one of those semi rules is like give yourself a 2 hour window where you don't have drinks. But I did have one in there.
Yeah, you did. But it's okay. Like you had some.
I have more blood than
bitter drink. You do. And also, you broke one of your own rules that you tell me not to do before we go out. And you're like, Tara, don't. We're not here to make friends. We're not making new friends. We're not. But how many times have you said that to me? We're not making new friends.
And I agree with that.
I know, but I can't help it.
I said the dog was looking at me.
Yeah. See, and you know that's how I feel when people look at me. Sometimes I'm like, hi, what's your name?
The dog is looking at me.
Actually, I don't ask people their names. That is one thing that I don't do. Yeah. Like when you're chit-chatting with strangers, I'm not like, hey, what's your name?
But hey, you know what? Whatever. You know what? I put out that good energy in the world.
I got three. I made some wild adventurous decisions. There was a set of four Radl Sauvignon Blanc stemware, which are expensive glasses. They're like, I don't know, $35 to $70 each, somewhere in that neighborhood, right? $5 each at the thrift store. There were four. Now, Mike, how many would you guess if I was like, there's four of these really nice glasses, how many would you think I would get?
Yeah, four.
You get four. No, I, for some reason, I was like, I only need three. So I grabbed three of them. And I don't know why I did that, because I didn't really care about the price, but I was kind of calculating like how many we could put in our cabinet safely and stuff.
Well,
close
I
it.
Mean, there is that, yeah.
And I don't want to smash. I don't know why I did that. It was a weird decision. So then I then saw like little crystal cordial glasses, which I love small cordial glasses, and I break them so fast. And I was like, oh man, here's some adorable crystal or like laser cut cordial glasses. These look too fragile and thin. I'm not getting these. These are heavy duty lead crystal. I'm getting these too. So I got two cordial glasses, three Rita glasses, and you would think that I would have broken the very delicate wine stemware, but no. Yeah. Somehow I broke the fucking crystal.
But you still have one, and you have the.
They lasted a long time. So yeah. Then I met you over.
Then we went and ate again. Mm-hmm. Eating is the big part of the thing.
Yeah.
Eat, eat, eat.
Then we went and had tacos. Yeah. Eat. I had a drink with you, and we're our new friends, and I pet the dog. It was a very nice little French bulldog with a squishy face. Then we ate some tacos. You ordered way too many tacos.
No, I didn't.
As I told you.
No,
well, you
didn't.
Gordita means fatty, so that's why you only need one gordita.
And I think we've established that I did not order too many because we were very thankful that we had a gordita in the hotel.
We were thankful for it, but I did have so many other snacks. No. Like, I had adult snack packs. I had trail mix.
You keep going back on this.
Mustard pretzel mix.
That I ordered too much, crackers. But I clearly did not, and it
well,
saved
it was,
us.
It didn't go to waste. It didn't go to waste. It was great. It came to play later in the night. So then after the tacos, you know, then that's when you go out for an adventure and you walk out onto a pier over the ocean. And you would think that we would discourage people from being out over the open ocean
in
that state. However, I do feel really safe. I feel like you can't fall over the railing. I don't think there's any ne'er-do-wells that we would get into trouble with out there. I feel like it's a nice place.
Yeah, this is one of our favorite things to do.
Fishermen out there was fantastic. Walk out over the pier, gaze into the darkness, contemplate the abyss, really standing out like way out there at the end of the pier where everything is black under you and you hear the black waters rushing through and you only have the light of the moon because you've passed all the lamps. And then you look out on the ocean and you see the distant like drilling wells or whatever the hell that is, cruise ships maybe, I don't know. Another thing we're not going to be on. And it's just like, man, like the nighttime and the ocean is wild.
Yeah, incredible. The darkness and it's just always it's something we look forward to doing. Yeah.
So when you're filled with like then the utter vastness and majesty of existence, then you gotta skip back to
have one more
the
nightcap
tiki bar and have a little nightcap,
and then go back and do not get a room drink.
We chit chatted a lot. We chit chatted with
a lot.
Do not
get
a
room drink.
Okay, yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm discussing the methodology. Sorry, the method. Okay, so then, yes, have a little adventure, go back to have another little drink. You know, that's what you do. So then we go there.
But stop. Don't
chit-chat.
Go into the liquor store. Don't go
you
into...
You think that you want to
you
go.
You don't, and we
no,
didn't.
No, but here's the thing, though. When you have a drink in bed, sometimes, like, let's say you get home late, and you're like, I don't feel like going to sleep yet. Then that's if you're going to have a drink in bed. That's when you should do it, when it's, like, your first. But not... A nightcap after a day of adventure, your countless.
Not when it's your 101.
101. Yeah, you don't want 100. You don't want that 101st drink to happen in your bed. It ends poorly. It'll end in wild eyes. Well, it'll end in.
It'll mostly.
It doesn't really end in
wake
sleep.
Up bad. Yeah, then bad. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So then somewhere in there, you got to take another party smart.
We like you know, to. We do too.
Just take one more for good measure. Get that acetaldehyde out of your blood.
And you know,
get that fiber. It's good for you.
I was
you.
Definitely a little worried when the eyes opened. I was like, okay.
I was worried for you. You went two more than me.
Are you? You were sitting here counting.
I wasn't counting. I just know in relation to my own, you're not that much bigger than me anymore.
But
you were being so cute. It was great.
We were fine.
Yeah, it's that point where you get back to your place.
Fine.
That's when you play. You DJ for each other. You have snacks. And
somehow I was fine, and I was fine.
You were fine,
and it was a great adventure. But I hope we've helped some people out.
Well, that's the method. So the lessons learned are eat food. Well, the lessons are eat food, pace yourself by tricking yourself, have the appropriate supplements. Make sure you drink water. Trick yourself into drinking water.
You need to prepare for an all-day drinking session like an athlete prepares for the big game.
But then don't try to be, like, the end of the night is not the time to get greedy. Early in the day is the time to be greedy, right? Yeah. The end of the night is the time where you're, like, looking out for your tomorrow self is the point, right? The end of the night is looking out for tomorrow self, making sure you survive this. Beginning of the day is when you can be greedy because you have a buffer for the tomorrow self, and then the tomorrow self won't hate the yesterday self.
Look, I'm glad that we've been able to.
I'm glad we established this mission.
I'm glad we've been able to, you know, again, I always say people come to Underground Espionage for that advice, and we dole it out here. We dole it out.
Yeah,
and,
we do.
The important, you know, the
I have other advice. If you're with a lot of people and you're all friends and everyone's having a great time and everyone does that thing where they're always buying each other rounds, it's really good. Like, my trick is that I fill my glass with something so that it looks like I have something.
Yeah.
Like halfway. So it's like I have more water.
Or, one thing we are,
you know, trick people into thinking
again,
I have a drink.
After
I don't.
You've just heard us talk for 15 minutes about our maniacal adventures, you would think that this would not be our stance. We are anti-shot. We are against
shots.
Do not
like shots.
We anti-shot. Think that only leads to
trouble. Because it leads to wild eyes, it leads to vomiting, it leads to craziness.
So we are definitely
We want to avoid sickness. We want to avoid arguments.
We want to poison ourselves to just the perfect amount.
Yeah, we want to get to the point where everybody's having a good time and fun and loose, however, not so much that they might be arrested.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or say something.
I never think about arrested.
I never thought about arrested. I mean, like in a
fight. I'm more concerned about hangover.
Violent.
I'm really concerned about being. Because we are so against
driving.
That's
what I'm saying. I think that's what shots lead to.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, my point is we don't even consider that because when you take shots, that leads to things such as being kicked out of places, getting into fights, puking on someone.
Yeah, no.
Leaning
we're not
on a
into
wall.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Someone else having to take care of you. I don't want anyone to have to take care of me.
We want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this show on the road. There we go.
Yeah, exactly. and I've said this so many times. And again, you know, obviously we're being sort of, you know, exuberant about the way we talk about these things. But actually to really bring it back to so much of the theme of this podcast and talking about, you know, your own creativity and what you – your art. And – I do think such an important thing, especially for you and I, Tara, and we've always said this, and again, maybe someone else can relate, is that getting out of your environment, especially you and I together, having those drinks, getting the ideas, you know,
for us, that's the thing that we do, but, you know, everybody just changing their environment does so much, like going to a new place, seeing new scenery. It really does lead to a way of thinking in yourself that you may not other think. Like when you get stuck creatively, it's nice to go change it up a little bit.
No matter what, no matter if it's going across the street, going, you know, an hour away, going a couple hours away.
Getting a cup of coffee somewhere.
It does. There's something about getting the flow going with that. And I do think that's, you know, we certainly discussed many things. You know, podcasts, music stuff that will apply to us in this next year. You know what I mean? While we're out having these adventures, but like I said, we're, you know, just to bring it back to like really what happens when we do these things is the ideas that end up coming from you and I being
having a little adventure together because it is, but it does feel like we're on a fun mission, we're on a fun adventure, and like part of it, the other thing that I try to force myself to do also is like if I'm going out somewhere doing something is to not always listen to headphones and not always listen to something because think about when people talk about the ideas they have in the shower and how those things always happen. And I think that's because in the shower, you're not always like listening to a podcast, listening to things like it's quiet and you have a moment to like for your thoughts to kind of flow, whether they're welcome or not welcome, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. But I do think the engaging in activity and silence is important sometimes.
Well, yeah, and that's what I always say. Basically the thing I miss about having a house is mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
And because it was too loud to listen to headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
So I loved that hour and a half of just the motor of the lawnmower, and the amount of titles, you know, lyrics, ideas for things that came from mowing the lawn. It's like crazy. You know what I mean? It's like, because like you're saying, you're doing this focused thing that you have to be doing. Again, that's why scientifically they say people come up with ideas in the shower. It's actually a thing.
Yeah.
And I think mowing the lawn is the same thing.
Yes.
You know, when I walk, I do generally, I will listen to headphones a lot. But I have been, I will make an effort sometimes not to.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, because of this reason you said, I will be like, you know what? Keep the headphones in, just go walk.
I try to force, I don't want to get into the habit of constantly having to do that. So I do try to raw dog reality just so I don't lose the ability to do that, because I think that it's really, really easy to get to that point, where you're just like, ugh. Much like people who are just like immediately bored by everything, much like me reading a review. Again, every time I'm like, I won't read a review, but I did. So I'm, you know. I said I won't, and I did. And then somebody's like, this is a slow burn gone wrong. 4 stars, terror at 10 killers, so boring, no payoff. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
hell no, love this movie.
But it's like, I don't want to get to the point where, like, I watch Terror at 10 killer, and I'm like, yawn, snooze, what next? You know what I mean? Like, that would be a shame.
No, look, everything, and this is something we actually discussed on our day, just the idea that every single thing in our life is curated to our art, whether or not it's what we're injecting in our ears, injecting in our eyes, watching, listening to, talking about, surrounding ourselves with. I mean, anyone who's been to our place walks into our place, and there's this immediate entry into another world.
Well, it's engaging with things that you find exciting. And I mean, I guess other people choose to just engage with things to maybe calm themselves. But I want to be invigorated by other people's creative output, by the possibility that we all have in our hands. And I think that that's what's so exciting.
It then pushes us into our own, world of that, and I get invigorated by something that can be dreamlike, something that can feel languid at times. I don't say that's boring. That's not boring to me at all.
Mm-mm.
It's not tedious to me at all. That to me fills me with excitement, and this watch of Terror at 10 Killer was absolutely, I'm really excited that this is what we're doing today, because Tara, sometimes we might know a week out what we're going to do. We are obviously, as always, we have irons in the fire, working on some interviews, getting some interviews set up. But today was one of those days, and I'm probably just going to put this right up after we finish. I don't see why we need to schedule it, put it just right up. But I was like, Tara, what sounds good? What sounds good? And you're like, well, it's spring now. It is.
Had that drive home yesterday, so we drove home
through
the back ways, like kind of like up the coast in California, so like driving next to the ocean, and then you go through all these like orange groves and like farm stands, and it's so scenic, and it's really just idyllic.
Feels
fragrant.
Lost in time.
Yeah,
feels
it's great.
A bit lost in time.
Great. It feels like the like a W.C. Fields, what he wanted to do.
And
it's a gift. Like, those are the places that he wanted to purchase,
Exactly. And so you were saying, it's obviously nice here. It's obviously not nice everywhere. But I think people are now ready, even if they're in a place where it's not nice. They're ready to start thinking
exactly.
About it being nice. We don't need, Ghost Keeper was perfect in January. Everyone needed a Ghost Keeper in January. Now we got to wait till next January to watch Ghost Keeper.
Ghost Keeper, like the most quoted. I would say Ghost Keeper has taken us with the most quoted film
of this year so far.
Of this year, because, you know, we're just totally like, you should have been nicer to Jenny. Like any seeming slight,
you
like
should have been nicer to Tara.
Like if you walk through the door and you don't like hold it open, I'm like, oh, you should have been nicer to Tara.
Yeah, you should have been nicer to Mike.
You should have been nicer to Jenny.
Yeah. So Tara, you were like, what about something that's in, you know, maybe summery, even though it's spring, you know, summery.
Yeah.
One of the things I went to immediately was maybe like Hard Ticket to Hawaii. You know, that sounded like a good one. And maybe we'll do that this year.
Oh, now that song's in my head.
But then you mentioned this. You know, we haven't done a ton of slashers on this series, and we really haven't. You know, we did a lot on Hometime, and I'm sure we'll do more. But, you know, we did something Last Slumber Party, which I believe the original way anyone saw Last Slumber Party or Terror at 10 Killer was a double feature DVD.
Yeah.
I believe it was Terror at 10 Killer and Last Slumber Party was the double feature DVD. But, you know, it's been, I was like, yeah, that does kind of sound like fun. You know, let's do a slasher, you know, because I just feel there's so many, obviously Hysteria Continues, there's so many great slasher podcasts out there. I think anyone could put their own spin on these things, but, you know, they've really just cornered they're the end all be all for me of slasher podcasts. So, you know, when we do one, I wanted to, you know, obviously have our own taste. And, you know, this is obviously, talking of Hysteria, you know, this is a Nathan favorite, and the rest of the boys aren't as
as
keen on Terror at 10 Killer. Well, but when you said all these things, maybe summary, maybe a slasher, I was like, you know what? It's time for Terror at 10 Killer, because this is also very underground, and this is an underground movie. This is a DIY, made in Oklahoma, 1986, made by the same company that put out Blood Cult. Same company that put out Revenge of the Blood Cult sequel. I thought there might be a relation to Blood Lake, because Blood Lake is also Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Feel free to let us know, because I was actually trying to look at if there's a connection, Blood Lake being one of our favorites.
Oh, Blood Lake.
But Terror at 10 Killer, Tara, this is your first watch.
It was my first watch, and I loved it.
I am so happy. I knew you were going to like this movie, and it's one that it's been in the back of my mind to pull out. It was the perfect day to watch it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic day to watch. I mean, there are many things that I enjoy about this. I would not call it slow. I didn't find it to be slow. I would say it's at times confounding. Like, you don't really... I guess maybe people feel that slow is when you don't really know where something's going. You know what I mean?
I'm with you, Tara. To me, I would say just... taking ourselves out of it, people might say that sitting at the diner eating apple pie and having a full conversation at the table might be slow. For me, I could have used three more scenes of that.
Yeah.
That's some of my favorite stuff.
Especially when everything that's being said, you just don't know where it's coming from. And okay, so like we start off with Beautiful Dreamer on harmonica. Which, by the way, Mike.
Yes, I just want to say, sorry. I love the harmonica in this.
I love the use of the harmonica.
And
you
I love
don't
the synth.
Really enjoy the harmonica as an instrument.
But it's great in this.
However, it's great in this.
And I love the synth in this. It is so wild.
The synth is wild. Okay, well, I mean.
All right, look. Sorry. I apologize. You know what? I'm going to sit
back. You
want to
talk about that? I'll talk about that. Here's the thing.
I'm going to sit back.
Well, just. Throw out, like, you know, other podcasts, you might listen to people talking in a cohesive way where they have, like,
factual information.
And these, like, well-prepared statements about things. I mean, we have factual information. I'm like, just, get back. Don't act like we don't. Joking. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, they may even be, like, reading off of a sheet where everything's written off. And we do have notes, but you could read the notes. I'll read them out later. But, you know, sometimes we're not really concerned about organization. You know, it's like, this is more like a conversation with two maniacs that you met out of town. And you're like, all right, I'll talk to them for a while. That's kind of that's the whole methodology right here.
I want people to think of underground espionage as the couple they meet at a bar.
Who the hell were they?
And that they just talked to, that they were talked at to for an hour.
Oh, you would not overtake them. You know, speaking of disappointing people, that is the funniest thing, though. Like, we'll be somewhere, and then you can tell that somebody wants to ask, And this happened when we were talking to somebody at Ventiki, and you got up to the bathroom, Mike, and somebody was like, what have I seen you in? What do you do? What are you in? And it's like they always wait for you to go away until they ask. Why is that, Mike?
I don't know, but it's...
And then I have to be like, I'm nobody. Don't worry about it. Like, it's like the chick who chased me around at the wrestling event. It always happens when we're talking to somebody.
Well, no,
it's like, don't worry
about it. You haven't seen me, but you've heard us on the Operation Storm Cloud commentary.
That is probably where it was.
That's exactly what they were all thinking. Was like, oh,
let's watch that. Let's watch all of them in the commentaries after this. That would be so fun. I'm so down to do that. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Yeah. So that's what they're
all thinking. Big Pamela Such fans. I mean, I think that's probably what it was, but I just, it's always like, don't ask. You know, if you're out with somebody, you don't have, you know, look.
No,
like,
sell
wait,
it.
But wait until they drop their credit card down.
No, sell
to it. Pay their check and then Google them. If you really want to know who the person is, and then you can be like, oh, cool. Then you can be disappointed at the end of the interaction and you don't have, no one has to like.
We disappoint people left and
just,
right.
Like, disappointing people left and right. It's just fantastic. Nobody, I trust me, nobody. Just a maniac with a credit card and a tinky drink. So here we go. Now, Mike, you talk about the music. Now, if you think that the makers, oh my God, I forget, Claudia and Ken Meyer making this, Claudia doing the script, Claudia writing the screenplay, Ken Meyer, I don't know if they're still together.
Directing, yep.
Directing, I don't know anymore.
Acting.
Yeah, all kinds of, yeah, he's Josh. We'll get to Josh. Josh, so good to have a Josh in the mix again, too. What have poor Josh's? They just don't exist anymore. Now, the music choice. They were like, you know, we could take like incidental music and have it play and do something like a montage. We could potentially wait until there's no action. Like if there's somebody like rowing out on a boat, we could play music. Or we could wait until we play lyrical music to when all of the main characters are having important conversations so that you really have to pick and choose what you're going to listen to. Are you going to listen to the original score and the original music that Bill Belknap did?
Well,
you going to listen to the dialogue?
Yeah, many times.
Because they're the same level.
There's dialogue scenes with music, with lyrics. And I've noted that rarely do you have a movie that has a heavy dialogue section and then the background music has a ton of lyrics.
But it's at a similar volume
to
the speaking
so
voices.
It's competing.
And it's not like a song we already know. You know what I mean? It's not like taking it to the streets where we know what
Amazing
they're saying.
Amazing that that's where you went.
This isn't, thank you. This isn't or our ticket to Hawaii. Like, you know, we all know these famous
tunes.
It's
not paradise all the time, Tara.
Yeah, so we all know these tunes. So but these are unique lyrics that kind of pertain to the plot and are trying to give us insight. However, you have to choose which one you're going to pick. You got to pick your pony. Are you going to know what the characters are going with? Or are you going to know what the songwriter went with? I pretty much went with the songwriter and glazed over on the interaction because I figured I'd have more shots at that later down the line. But there you go. So that's one element where I question people saying it's a slow burn because I'm like, I'm so full of choices already. Like, I'm going to have to, I already know. I'm 5 minutes in and I know I got to watch this several times to really understand, like, to really get the full picture of what I'm experiencing, right? So, already I disagree heavily. So, we get Beautiful Dreamer on harmonica. We get a man dumping a body in a lake from a dinghy. And honestly, you know, Mike, when I had heard, I did hear the boys of Hysteria Continues talking about Tara Tenkeller in kind of a disparaging way, not like fully disparaging, not like yuck, that drivel, but more, you know, but I was kind of surprised at how well this is shot. Like,
you immediately were like, this looks amazing. And
looks
I agree.
Great.
There's some incredible shots in here, especially the shots of the guy out in the dinghy in the middle of the lake with the blood red moon. And even just some of the shots of the houses at night with the lights inside the cabins.
I would say it's shot as well as the original, like, Friday.
I think it's
a different vibe, but I'm saying, like, the establishing shots. They are very...
I think it's really beautiful. I think a lake is immediately going to be a pretty good... You already got the lake, so we're already good. I agree, though, Tara.
I think
it looks amazing. And I think with the strange synth, it only adds to it.
I'm just saying, the lighting was good. It's not dark beyond repair, although probably for previous versions were trash.
This is the fantastic Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, but this print... Like, I do think that when they were shooting the scenes, like, it doesn't seem amateurish because, like, they seem like a, just a classic establishment shot. I'm not, like, saying this is, like, Citizen Kane or anything, but I'm saying, like, it's a classic slasher establishment,
I think it looks amazing. I really enjoy it.
Anyway, I'll move on. No, I'll move on, darling.
Thank you, Tara.
Then they do that backlighting, like, for the killer.
I think it looks amazing.
And it looks great. Like, out in the woods with the backlighting, like, you normally wouldn't be able to see somebody running through a dark woods. And then the way they do that, which is done with Jason on many an occasion. Like, I think it's a classic move. Again, maybe they didn't invent it, but I think it looks good. I'm sorry, it does. And you know what else looks good?
I feel like you think I'm arguing with you. Or are you just arguing with a straw man?
I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm just agreeing. I'm not arguing with anybody. You threw me. I feel like I'm being accused of something really heavy. I'm going to move along. You should have been nicer to Tara. You should have been nicer. One day you'll know. You should have been nicer to Tara. You know? That's right. Well, we have we get to meet beautiful, beautiful Leslie. And so then after we get the body dumped on the lake on a beautiful establishing shot, we get to see an indoor swimming pool at like somebody's high school, clearly. And we see a lady swimming laps by herself. How fun would that be? When do you get the whole ass pool to yourself and you get to swim laps? And I'm telling you, Mike, I can't imagine that Leslie can swim very quickly because she has a lot of drag established right on
the
top of her chest. Because,
by the way,
man.
Great, great.
She's not going to sink in the pool, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What an impressive protagonist.
I'm a fan.
And so, you know, we get to establish as Leslie is our main gal. Josh comes up. He's like, hey, can we talk? As she reaches the end of the pool.
This
and you know,
fucking guy.
She's like, reasonably, she says, no, this is not the time. It's like, yeah, it's not the fucking time.
You should have been nicer to Leslie.
This lady's swimming laps. What are you going to go up to somebody swimming laps in a pool and be like, hey, can we talk? Like, no. Like, I'm swimming laps. This lady needs to swim laps. She needs to keep her figure. And then she has to shower off because she's covered in chlorine. And what's she going to do when she showers off, Mike? She's going to take her swimsuit off, which is weird because, like, after you shower, after you've been swimming laps, you want to get the chlorine off your body and your suit so your suit doesn't degrade. You need to keep that lycra intact. You should keep your suit on. And then after you do that, then you take your suit off, then you wring it off. You know what I mean? That's kind of the established protocol for swimming. I mean, maybe, Mike, we can make all these protocols for life. Now that we've established how to have like a fun drinking adventure for a day, that's how you do it. After you swim, keep the suit on. Save you a step. But also, the thing I question is why Leslie was wearing panties under the suit. Because then her friend goes, ha! Like, I always like to pop in on my friends as they're showering. And just be like, ha ha, caught you. You're naked. But she wasn't. She was in panties. And, you know, it's things like this where, again, I'm saying, what is boring about this?
Nothing.
What is boring about any of this? So we meet Jenna or Jana, whatever it really, truly was. It changes throughout the film.
Oh, yeah, you know, accents. Yeah, sure. I'm going to go with Jana. I feel like it is more like that, right?
I did write it down. I started, whatever it was at the end, I went back and changed a few, and then I decided that I didn't care. Yeah, it's Jana.
Cool.
It's Jana with an A. But I thought it was Jenna. Oh, I just got Jenna on the mind. Well, so then Jenna establishes that Leslie has a shitty boyfriend. We already met him. His name's Josh. He likes to interrupt when you're swimming laps. Tries to have heavy conversations when clearly it's not the time. You're not in the state of mind. Maybe she was deep in thought, making creative cocktails in her own mind. And he's just like, hey, why don't you marry me? Josh, you suck. So Jana agrees. He's a caveman. He likes to yank her around. We have that established. Nothing bad here.
No. Fantastic.
So then we get it established. So I'll just do a quick summation at this point now that I've gone over all the establishments. Jenna and Leslie are roommates in college. Would you think that they're in their 30s? Yes, but they are not. They are in college together, and they need a place to go for the summer. Leslie was going to go back home where Josh is waiting for her, pressuring her into marrying him. But
Josh is waiting home for her just to give her a beating.
Grab her by the wrist. Mike, she says he's never actually beaten her.
He just grabs.
He's slung her around a bit.
Yanked her a bit.
You know, yanking her back and forth, doing that kind of
nicer to Leslie.
Maybe he's more of like a grappling type of wrestler. He's not like, really one of the high flyers. You know what I mean?
He body slammed her a few times.
Body slammed her a few, some judo type of thing. You know, so So they are, Josh is waiting. He said he'd let her go to 2 semesters of college before they got married. So she's like in her second. So I guess she might be like 20 max. 35. She's 45 max. She's looking great. Her neck looks fucking fantastic. You know what? I feel like a neck is the true judge of age, and I am old, judging by the pictures we took on our little trip and judging by my neck. I want to have that. Like, maybe this guy can like cut my neck a little bit, just skin deep, and then I can like have it sewn back up like tighter. You think you can do
we
that?
We get Tor on
that
the case?
Neck tape and Tor. That's one way to do it. So anyway, she decides to go with Jana to her beach house, her lake house, over by old Lake Ten Killer. Normal name for a lake. Ten Killer Lake near Gore. And I'm like, this has to have a fun. Like, there's actually a Lake Ten Killer.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And it
yeah.
was by I don't remember what tribe. I think it was Cherokee family.
It
had been
you
in the area for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was their last name, was Ten Killer. I mean, cool name.
Amazing name.
And
name.
So,
see, I'm
like,
pretty
I can
sure
see how they made
Blood
it to the
Lake
title.
Was filmed around. It's not. It was. I think it's
I do
filmed
think
by
we discussed
here.
That. Yeah. So cool. Man-made lake from the 50s. After they made a dam on what the Illinois River. God, that's fascinating. I love talking about things.
You know,
Oklahoma is
one of the. I'm pretty sure I've never even driven through it. It's one of the few states I've never. Oklahoma and South Dakota are definitely. I've definitely never been through South Dakota. Oklahoma,
I don't
I,
think
I'm not
I've been
sure.
through Oklahoma unless we no. Because if you
no.
the only time I would have gone through Oklahoma is with you. So we.
Yeah,
I've never been
it's
through
like
Oklahoma.
It's. I'm pretty sure I've never gone through Oklahoma. I'm almost positive I've played Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm pretty
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. So Leslie's gonna go stay with her friend instead of going back home because she just needs to think about what she wants to do in life. But little do they know, there had been a slew of murders in this area back before you woke up and scrolled through the news on your phone, and then laid in bed at night and scrolled through the news on your phone again. They didn't get this information because it wasn't available to them. So they go to a lake where women are being murdered to work in a cute little restaurant and swim around and jump off a dock and have summer fun. So that is what goes on.
Yeah, and first of all, I definitely want to eat at the Cove restaurant. That looks amazing.
Yeah, I would like them to grill me a burger.
I'm definitely
would like to have their
kind
of
craving a burger.
We did go to the original Big Boy, and that was the one that David Lynch goes.
Yeah,
since the last listening to it was really
I would
great.
Like to go
we
there
did not.
Right now.
We didn't get pie. In case you're curious, we didn't get pie, but we did get. I got a patty melt.
Yeah,
you got a burger.
Oh, it's amazing.
We
but
did not get a milkshake.
There's a wild scene right here in the beginning that definitely adds to the dream quality of the movie because you're going to be second guessing yourself about what you're seeing because Jana at a certain point puts her bikini on. Her hair is longer, and her tits are bigger.
Again, I don't know how anybody could get bored because they see this short-haired 45-year-old woman. And then all of a sudden, she's got a long head of curly hair and some new and a whole new set. You know what I mean? And she puts the bikini on and you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I know that wasn't
because
what
we,
I just saw.
Because we were obviously pretty focused on Leslie, you know, for the beginning. And then when we
yeah.
see her, we're like, wait a minute, what? You never see this version of Jana again.
Well, no, we weren't focused on Leslie. I noticed because the thing I said to you is like Jana, like Leslie has so much and Jana has so little. I would like to take some of her and put them
but
on
it
her.
Seems
and
like,
then you disagreed and you said, no, leave her alone, Tara.
Don't take any
don't
off
take
Leslie.
Any off of Leslie. Leave her. As
but
she
it
is.
Sounds like it did happen for this brief, like minute long thing. And that never comes back again. So they obviously like refilmed her putting a bikini on like a year later.
They were like, do you know? And then I was waiting for this entire film. I was waiting for some other like shots to be established where I see this. But
nope.
later in time, Jana.
It's the only
and that's
time
the
it happens.
Only time. It's like they were just like, everybody's going to wonder how she got into that bikini. It's been driving me nuts. I've been editing this film for a year. We really need this shot. I'm going to need you to get back to that cabin. I need you to put it on. And she's going to be like, but my hair's long and I had a surgery.
Yeah.
And I had a surgery and it went well. She looks amazing.
They look great.
And then they're like, it's fine.
Yeah.
We don't care. Or did they hear that she had the surgery and they're like,
that's what I'm thinking.
We missed our shot. We didn't get them in there. Can you like, can we work it in? Let's go.
Yeah, no, it is a wild scene, but
it was freaking wild. You know what I love is that they have wood paneling in their room, and they have curtains that match the bedspreads.
That was in
and
the
I'm just
room.
Like, I get so excited when curtains and bedspreads match, and I really get even more excited when it's a curtain bedspread wallpaper combo.
Yeah, I mean,
like, that is fucking great.
Yeah, yeah, no, I do like that a lot.
Everybody should.
But
have
I think what adds to the, and again, dreamlike, again, it's sort of the word of the episode. It is part of the description on the back, so it's in my head. But it is true because it does have this hazy, and I think part of that's the 16 millimeter. Part of that is just the haziness of by the lake. They are conversations. They have many conversations hanging out at the diner. These are the things I love about the movie.
And there aren't like a lot of extras. Like you have, it's like there's like a cast of six, you know?
But the first, well, we see the first kill that's seen right at the beginning. The first kill we see as the movie is going, again, is just such a strange thing because.
Wait, where are you going to?
I was going to the hot tub.
No, you
did
you,
I skip too far?
Yeah, you skipped Preacher. You went way ahead, sir.
You know, look, I
should have been nicer to take her up.
I'm
just throwing it all out there. No, so we have the establishment of the story. So John and Leslie established that her dad wanted to, the time their family got to been together, and he told her the story of the Indian maiden.
Correct. Okay, sorry,
who,
I did skip that.
Whose sister was taken, and then, you know, after her sister was taken, she went on a blood vengeance and killed 10 men, and then
10 killer.
The 10th one, she's like drugged down and hugged them into the bottom of the lake, and then she protects women in the lake on the bottom of the lake, much like Jason does, but he doesn't protect people, he just drowns people. But, you know, we have kind of an Indian maiden on the bottom of the lake, much like baby Jason.
So that's really cool. Yeah.
And then we get Stephen Foster now on this. Oh, sorry. We get the Beautiful Dreamer on set. Then Mike, it was composed by Stephen Foster, Beautiful Dreamer. And I know it because as a child in Kentucky, we would go see the Stephen Foster story at the Stephen Foster Historical Home.
You sing the harmonica song.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. And so. It's like a historical place in Kentucky, and you go, and when I was young, you would go watch people perform Stephen Foster songs in, like, hoop skirts and, like, big, like, Victorian-era, like, outfits, and go, like, just look at what their life was like, and I got the sheet music, so I would sit at home on my little Casio synth and play this sheet music from my book, because I only had Neil Diamond Jazz Singer, and then some like hits of the 80s, like the theme from Wings or something. Those were my only sheet music that I possessed. So if you want to picture me playing that and Hava Nagila from a jazz singer, that's what happened.
I love it. Really, but it is a great use of that song, and it's the establishing, you know,
hazy.
Yeah.
So then the waitress that we established that works in the restaurant, where the cove, where Tor hangs out.
We meet Tor.
Charlie's the boss, short for Torrance. So she gets home from a date and she walks into her room. And how much do you want to own this room, Mike?
Yeah, so it's this cabin on the lake, the living room itself.
The entry
room. Like a
room.
Living room.
You walk in, you take your key out.
Couches.
And there's... It looks like a glassed in porch, but it's also not.
Right.
It's like, it looks like, I don't think it's like actually a glassed in porch. I think it's like part of the building.
Yes.
You go in and there's a couch.
Yep.
And there's carpet.
Yep.
It's a normal like.
But Tara.
Cottage style room.
But Tara, what else is there in this room?
A hot tub.
Yeah. A giant hot tub.
A giant hot tub in front of window. Like what a place. Like this is just, I would say regional charm, but I don't even know if it's regional. Like, what a time. You know what I mean? Where they just, you got a house that has all these windows and your living room and you're like, you know what my living room needs? Not a wood floor, not tile. It needs a hot tub right here, right in the corner. I want people to sit on this couch and watch me in the hot tub. And if you don't behave, you have to sit in that couch and watch me take a hot tub bath when you don't get to.
Yeah.
What an amazing time. Again, not boring. So if you're going to hop in the hot tub after a date, you're going to go to the kitchen. You're going to put on a bathing suit, which I would never wear in my own hot tub. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I know.
It's strange, right? And you're going to grab two apples and you're going to put them on a plate.
With a knife. Sharp knife.
Because she's not a villain. Because she's not going to eat the apple whole like some kind of psychopath and just bite into it. She's going to chop it up like a civilized person.
Absolutely. But Tara, this is going to be her last tub. You know what I mean? We see Tor. And I do like a slasher where we just know the killer. I'm a fan. It's just like, yeah, you're just like, oh, he's the killer.
Yeah.
And it's not a mystery. It's just the characters in the movie all think it's Josh.
Yeah, they all, well, he makes them think it's Josh. But it's wild. Like, so again, this was my first watch. And I was like, is Tor going to be a red herring? Tor's just walking up in his denim. I'm like, no, Tor just jumped in. He's got double denim. He has a denim jacket. He has denim jeans. He jumps into the hot tub, takes the knife from the apple plate, and just... And then I think the effects in this are fantastic. Like, they really are, like, great.
Yeah, and I like the stabbing. It there's something strange about the way he does it in a way that I like a lot.
The stabbings are really, really... They're really, really real.
Yeah, you know? And even but just like, the way they react to it.
They're very well done.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's some scenes like, you know, there's a stabbing in the back that's crazy, an arm that gets cut off, and it looks really, really good. Like, I think all of the, like, practical effects look fantastic.
And I just like Tor. I just like
and then her gurgling in the hot tub. She's like,
terrible. I like her gurgling. Yeah. I like that he's also an unexplained killer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no explanation.
No one's ever like, he kills them because of this.
No explanation.
They
nothing.
Don't talk about the harmonica. They don't talk about why he plays Beautiful Dreamer. Although my experience with people who play the harmonica is that they don't know that many songs. They just play the same one over and over and over again. So in my head, I was thinking, that's the only song he learned.
You're like, of course he's a villain.
It's not his trigger. He plays
the harmonica. So we immediately, we know that Tor is the killer. And we know that he is going to be killing every character we pretty much see in the movie, including Preacher.
Yeah, and it's not even going to be, like, hidden well.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't really do much. But and so we meet, this is, like, yeah, Preacher works at the boat shop, at the boathouse. He manages the dock. He's going to get your boat out for you. He's going to gas it up. He cleans a lot of fish. Really cleans fish. And Mike, I've been really into cleaning fish with scissors. He was using a weird knife at first. A lot of different types of knives, I would say. Knife he was using to fillet that fish is like one of the last knives. I think his buck knife would have worked better than this weird one, but that's okay. Sometimes you have the tools you need.
He's leering at our girls, and I like when he says, I'm going to keep an eye on them. Hey, I might keep both eyes on them. I like that.
I like when they say, why is your name Preacher? And he's like, because my daddy named me that, I reckon.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's really good in it.
Yeah, I do too.
And then, but it's funny because Tor kills him when he's at the girl's cabin. So, like, he's almost, like, weirdly, like, protecting the girls from
Preacher. Yeah, he's, like, trying to protect them. And he's like, yeah. I can see his nipples through his shirt a little more than I wanted to, though. I will say that. Like, it looked like, you know, a lot of nipples through that shirt. But that's okay. Yeah, he's going to bring the ladies some fish. He's going to ask to be invited in to have a beer, Preacher, because he's going to keep an eye on the gals.
But they're not going to invite him in. Instead, he's going to get killed and have his arm chopped off.
He did, and it looks great. And it's that type where the hand is moving the whole time. I think it's probably looks like awesome. Buried underneath. I think it looks really good.
And I like that Tor stashes the body parts in their cabin.
Like
in
under
their
the
little...
cabin, yeah, like it wouldn't stink.
Yeah.
Oh, God, can you imagine what that smells like?
But again, I love the scenes of them hanging out in the cabin. I like the scenes of them sleeping. They like to take naps. Blood Lake is another nap-heavy movie. Do you think in Oklahoma they're just very drowsy?
Maybe they're drowsy. Well, is it like the heat of the day causing it that? Like, these gals are like, well, I'm going to go take a nap. I'm going to have a swim and a nap. I woke up from a nap. Like, get confused because they wake up from a nap. Like, they are young and they take way too many naps. I'm concerned about them.
Yeah.
But maybe also in Blood Lake.
Yeah.
They took a lot of, they're young, too. They shouldn't take so many naps.
Yeah.
We are, like, since we're talking about life advice.
We gave ourselves the option to nap.
Yeah.
And we didn't take it.
But years ago, we stopped napping.
Well, yeah.
And I stand by it. I used to have a lot of insomnia. Like, I had a lot of sleep problems. And I stopped napping because I was like, I need to break this cycle. So I'm just going to wait until I'm super tired and then just maybe go to bed early. To encourage myself to do that instead of taking a nap. Yeah. It's like sometimes I feel like and I'm wrecked after a nap. I'm confused. I'm grumpy. I don't want to take a nap.
No. I'm not a fan.
You know what I mean? I only nap if I absolutely have to, or if I'm sick. If you're sick, take a lot of naps. It's good for you. But man, can you imagine? So the gals, now they know where Preacher is. Now there's an open spot at the restaurant. So both ladies can be employed at the restaurant. It's looking like they're going to have a fun summer, but they're starting to hear tell about the murders. So they're starting to get a little concerned. But Torsen seems to like really make everybody think like,
I got this.
Josh is a creep. You
and
know,
I got this.
I'll protect you. Don't worry. Ladies are safe when I'm around.
Speaking of sound, Tara, something we haven't noted, you know, the music can be pretty loud and mixing with the dialogue. The ambient, like, cricket critter sound is
cicadas.
Quite loud.
I didn't know. Oklahoma has cicadas.
Okay.
Those are cicadas.
Quite
loud. Very loud. She was like, they get to the lake. And Leslie's like, oh, my God, it's so quiet here. But it's like all you can hear is like the deafening sound of cicadas, which are so loud. I mean,
it sounds great.
You heard them when we were in Kentucky. They're loud as hell.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like and I actually I like that about the movie. I like that sound.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's one of those things where it's like it's quiet here. And you're like, no, it's deafening sounding there. I always found that the cicadas help me sleep at night. Crickets, on the other hand, help me sleep less because crickets, it's like when
they start and stop.
Yeah, they're too herky-jerky. Yes, thank you. We're on the same page now. I'm so happy. You know, I think we were also on the same page with Tor's cutoff jeans.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I don't know how he kept them balls inside.
They were riding up. Woo! It was
sitting down on a low couch in high-cut jeans.
Wild.
Yeah, yeah. It really, like, I don't know, if he ever planned on having kids. That guy turned into, like, an actor of...
Yeah, he continued.
Of well repute.
Yeah. Much like a lot of the people in Nightmare Weekend.
Yeah, but he was in all kinds of like commercial things. Like he seemed to.
Same with Nightmare Weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was actually being serious. Yeah.
You are serious, and that's true. But he was truly like the one in this one. Anyway, I do love Tor's cutoffs. I love the answering machine playing such a heavy role. Doing some of the heavy lifting in here. We get answering machines with death threats on them. I did get a little concerned about everybody being eaten up by mosquitoes. Like once
Jana notes it at one point.
She was like, let's get a stock. We're going to get eaten up alive. And then she takes a nap on the dock.
Yeah,
until
really
dark.
Really irresponsible.
God, that made me very nervous. Like, I feel like she is going to be eaten up by mosquitoes.
She was murdered.
Yeah, I guess it didn't matter.
But she didn't
get
murdered on the dock. Tor brought her back to the house, to the cabin, so that Jana could, in real time, for the viewers, wash her hair in the sink.
And again, this made me where people say this is a slow burn. Because you think that if you walk, watching somebody wake up on a dock, invite a man up to their cabin, offer him a Coors beer, then proceed to wash their hair in the sink in a bikini... For a long time. Like, if you think
full time.
See, to me, I'm so stunned by what I've seen that I don't have time to get bored. Because I'm like, wow, she doesn't have that much hair. She should be done by now. What does she do? She's going to rinse it again? She's going to do a double wash? Does she have a full wash day? She's going to double wash,
like
rinse, condition?
Much like the car in Sorority Slaughter. You know, how much are they washing it? How long are they going to wash it
for? How much
can
you carry on a conversation with your head in a kitchen sink? You know? A lot.
They weren't really talking, though. He was just sort of watching her do it.
Yeah.
He was just sort of like leering.
Chit-chatting.
I like this.
Yeah. I like this. That's great. I did, too. I thought it was fantastic. And I thought it was, like, even nastier that he would be, like, he's not, like, he came over and it looked like he was going to, like, undo the top of her swimsuit. And he did. But it's, like, he undid the top because he didn't want to cut it in half for when he stabbed her in the back. And it's, like... What sort of role does murder play in his life?
Right.
He didn't want to see her face.
Right.
He didn't seem to be assaulting her. He just seemed to like...
Just like the chick in the hot tub. Preacher, he like seemed to like be like thinking he was like a hero.
Yeah, Preacher, he's like, I'm going to protect them.
But then the girl in the hot tub, he loved Leslie the most. Yeah, the girl in the hot tub, the girl in the beginning, he just slits her throat. You know, it's just...
Yeah.
What role does murder play?
And then also, so then he kind of does reveal a motive eventually. Maybe, you know, that's something that we had the anticipation to wait for, right? And then as, you know, Leslie comes home and she's horrified and everything unfurls and it just, you know, we find out. She's finally in on the killer, which we've all known because we're just watching him walk around in various types of denim murdering people for unexplained reasons. He says, nobody loves you as much as I do. That makes you mine. So it's like you think he's murdering, and then he says he was murdering Jana because she was getting in between them. So then you're like, is he not going to murder Leslie?
But he murdered the chick in the beginning of the movie before he even knew Leslie.
And he murdered all the other people,
yeah.
Presumably, and he just murdered the preacher. Well, but then he makes it seem like he's not going to murder Leslie because she's his, because he loves, but she loves him. He loves her.
He murders Josh.
Well, that again, that's more convenience. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's more convenience because Josh is there. So it's like, really, I guess that part of the plot is questionable in terms of why he's murdering. But isn't that true of murderers, though? Like, you know, once he's just going, it's hard. He's like, do I really need a reason? Really? Yeah. He's in it
hey,
for
look,
the murdering,
I'm not murdering
people. Yeah.
I'm here to murder.
Nah, yeah,
do
he's
I need
out,
a reason?
Do I really need a reason? This person annoyed me. This person was in my way.
Yeah.
This person had a hot tub in their living room, and I thought it was weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, stop this nonsense. So, you know, there were so very many reasons to do. Or, like, what kind of snack is two apples? Like, you get off from home from a date, and you're going to sit here in your hot tub eating two apples. Like, that is two red delicious apples. God,
not happening.
It's insanity. You didn't even dip them in anything. You didn't.
Yeah,
even,
no little peanut butter.
No, you know, peanut butter. Throw some oats under it. Like, have some crackers and cheese with them. Like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? Who can? What adult can eat two whole apples by themselves? Anyone? Can you eat two apples by yourself? Like, I can't eat a whole apple. I can eat it, like, if I cut it up, I can't eat a whole apple. Now, I guess if you do that psycho way of putting it in your face, you never really consume the whole thing unless you're a core eater, which is also performative. So I don't know. But I feel that it's too much to have a big size apple.
Definitely.
Unless they're like those little teeny tiny apples, which are cute. I'll eat one of those. But it's regular, you know, 0.75 pound apple. Too much apple. Those were too many apples. There's something wrong with her. I kind of am starting to agree with Tor. And you know what? Preacher seemed kind of like creep too.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know,
I'm kind of agreeing with all of his decisions thus far.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you know, so as he hugs Leslie seemingly to death and takes the ladies out onto the lake for their final resting place.
Well, I mean, Jana, yeah, she's dead already. She's in the boat. And I like this last chasing because, again, adding to the dreamlike quality, it is sort of unclear as to the position of where everyone's at, the geography. They're mm-hmm. here, they're there, they're running through the dark forest. But I like that, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, then they end up on a boat, unconscious or dead. And Tor is possibly ready to dump them off. And when Leslie using her noodle, she jumps into the lake, kind of tips the boat, which that kind of dinghy, really easy to tip. I can see why Tor would fall out. And as she says, being a swimmer saved my life, because she swims away, because we established that she can do laps. So she does the crawl stroke without her face fully in, all the way to the shoreline, whereas Tor, maybe because he was in boots, maybe because he had his full denim pants on, or maybe because the Indian maiden yanked him down with the help of baby Jason.
And what Tara does the overdub of, because one thing we did not establish is that throughout there is Leslie giving a voiceover.
She was like, I really regret going to the cabin that summer.
Like, so great.
What a great
and
way
like
to
in the
say.
Beginning, like, little did I know this would be the worst summer of my life.
This would be a really bad summer.
So it's very similar to our Nightmare Weekend. Mm-hmm. Oh, so kind, so gentle.
In her soft tones, she goes, if anything positive came out of this experience, it was the lesson I learned, to never let anyone do anything you don't want to do. To never let anyone make you do anything you don't want to do.
Hey, you know, life lessons.
That's a great lesson. Thank you, Leslie. Out of everything, this guy murders her friend.
Yeah.
All these other people, they go to this cabin. She's put in perilous danger. Her abusive boyfriend is also slain. And her takeaway, Leslie's takeaway, was don't ever let anyone make you do anything that you don't want to do.
This is a lesson-filled episode of Underground Espionage. I mean, there's a lot of lessons between the lessons we've doled out, the lessons Leslie's doling out, you know?
But I you know, I would never, I don't, that's not a lesson that I agree with, Mike.
Sometimes,
you know, sometimes there are things you don't want to do that you could just do really easily.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal. Or sometimes there are things that you don't want to do that are in your best interest and you just don't feel like doing it. Like taking a shower. I never want to.
Yeah.
But you know what? I should sometimes.
And I am of the opinion that girls don't smell, so it's okay. Or that but you guys just smell great.
Yeah.
So I've always approved of you not showering.
And like if you were like, you know, like you last night wanted Indian food, but I wanted Mediterranean food. And it's like I did want Mediterranean food, but then you were like, can we just get Indian food? I really want it. And I was like, okay, let's get Indian food. And you know what? It was great. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that Indian food. It was fantastic.
It was amazing.
Those pakoras, like, just really hit the spot. I had some lovely shot. It was great. I have no complaints about it. It was a wild process whereby a robot delivered our food to our home.
We did have our first robot delivery.
It was quite an experience.
Yeah.
However, I would have never had Indian food or a robot deliver me Indian food if you hadn't made me do something that I didn't initially want to do.
Yeah, and it goes both ways. I'm sure that I can't think of an example directly, but I'm sure throughout the week there's been multiple examples where you had an idea to do something I didn't, and then I was like, you know what?
Yeah, like when I want to put eye cream on you.
And it's always the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always the right decision.
And I have to hold you still. Jam a little cream on your head.
I think the best decision we had so far today was watching Terror at Tenkiller. I think you had the great setup for the vibe that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with your vibe and I said, this is what we were watching. And God, I just
vibe is summer adventure.
Hazy, dreamlike, 16 millimeter.
Overt killer.
Languid. You're going to have conversations. Diner.
Surprising decisions. Like if you, and it's not like one of those, it's not like you know, one of the main characters is going to be kind of an omnipotent robot puppet, but you know, that's like something you would never guess. That's true. But this is a more subtle, you don't like see what's happening kind of next, you know.
Great shots of the lake. Yeah. Great shots of our man in the dinghy in the middle of the lake, the moon, the cabins with the lights from the inside, the atmosphere, the hot
Leslie
tub
is
in a living room.
You know, Jana is too. Like, stunning cast. I mean, I think that everyone in it, like, great performances,
hey,
you know?
Got everyone. Hey, I want everyone to, everyone involved with Terror at Tenkiller, give yourself, you know what? Go ahead, enjoy yourself a little beverage, but listen to our advice that we gave earlier in this episode.
Yeah, wisdom. You gotta do that.
I'm
pointing to my head right now with my finger like a wrestler does.
Not only everyone involved in Terror at Tenkiller, but everyone listening right now who is stuck with this entire wild episode with us. Whatever that means to you, go enjoy the rest of your day. Let your mind just start to work on you. You got a problem you've been dealing with. You got an idea that it's kind of there, but you haven't fully formed that idea yet. Mm-hmm. Go step outside, maybe go across the street. Get it going. Get the flow going, and you will like that.
Get
come
your
up with
juices
something
all frothed
something
up.
As great. You'll come up with something as great as Terror at Tenkiller. I promise.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for the support. Like I said, you know, got some stuff working behind the scenes. Not sure what next week's episode will be, but, you know, definitely for the next few weeks, we will be consistent.
Yeah, we will be here.
For at least the next couple. And, yeah, I guess that's it. I'm wrapping up. I thought I had something.
No,
I thought I had something.
You were
kind of
teasing.
Then
we
did,
do
and,
have a depraved adventure vacation planned in a month, but I think we can make everything happen.
Yeah, I mean,
such an adventure. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. Watch Terror at Tenkiller, Vinegar Syndrome. And while you're over there, don't forget to pick up the Pamela Such set from Saturn's Core.
Absolutely.
All right.
Send us your life tips.
Hey, and let us know if our advice has really helped you in life.
And also,
if it hasn't, don't let us know.
And also, if it hasn't, that's fine. You can let us know. It's fun. I don't like, I'm going to say, if you're going to add on like the electrolyte powder and the water tip, I don't like it. Like, I've tried it. Like, I'm into like, we like the vitamin water zero. That's okay. But I think the electrolyte powder in the water is too flavorful, and I find that it just kind of makes me feel queasy.
I hate it.
I pretty much do too. I don't like it. It's too much. Liquid IV, I'll give it away. You can keep it. You know what I mean? Not going to be a sponsor, but Party Smart. Hit me up.
Hit us up. We'll just do it for free. All right, everyone.
That's like us all the time. We'll do it for free. The Connellys will do it for free. That's the new underground espionage slogan.
We'll talk to you soon.